Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Global Warning. And with all of the conversation, usually there's certain times of year, but now it's kind of all the time. The politically correct thing to do and to talk about to get reelected is to try to save the planet. And I think there is a place for this, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, but I'm going to end up in a different place than maybe you think, or maybe you know where I'm going to end up. We'll just see if we get there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and following. And this is the creation account. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave man control over the planet. There's not another animal on the planet. Any species is even remotely close to human beings. It is a whole nother subset. It's this thing, these people that were literally made in the image of God, and they're given dominion over the earth. Now, Genesis 1 is before any sin entered into anything. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Sin has entered into the world. There's consequence to sin, and they are discovering it. They realize they're naked. They're hiding. They're running. They're doing what they never would have done if sin hadn't come in. And now, within three chapters into the Bible, some pretty serious stuff is coming down on them. In Genesis chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 17, where God is telling Adam what's going to happen to him, what his consequence is. "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" So literally God cursed the ground because of what Adam had done. So sin does not just affect us as human beings, our lives. Literally, sin affected the entire creation, all of what happens on the planet. And in Romans chapter 8, let me read you a few verses out of here, because it describes what's going on the planet pretty effectively, and what people don't even realize in the Bible sometimes or consider. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So literally the creation itself, the world, waits. Look at verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." So we are in these bodies that fall apart, need surgery, have all these problems. The world itself creaks and groans and plates grind together. And literally, as it describes here, it groans and travails till what? It's delivered from literally what's happened to it as a result of sin. Now go to Psalm chapter 8. We're going to kind of go left to right still. I just wanted to throw that Romans 8 in there. But Psalm chapter 8, and let's start with verse 1 and just read a few verses out of this psalm. The psalmist says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So man has been given dominion and has a responsibility to take care of the planet. Okay, this is where we live. This is our house. We leave something for our children. It shouldn't be just about us. We shouldn't say, well, we'll screw it all up and then our grandkids can just figure it out and clean the mess up when we're gone. You say, well, that sounds right. That's logical. That's reasonable. Okay, we're still together so far. Go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, let's jump in at verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Psalm 115, go a few pages over. Psalm 115, verse 15 and following. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Now go to Luke chapter 19. This is the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. Luke 19, verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, his followers. And guys, you know, you say, well, we ought to be reserved. We ought to come to church and ought to be this quiet. I mean, there are times to be quiet, but what are you going to do with these verses? Verse 37, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. My contention is you probably never seen anything. You see God working, sooner or later, you're going to bust a move and say something. You say, well, why would you holler and scream? Okay, so God exists. Big deal. Okay, so I'll die and go to heaven. Big deal. Something's missing. You say, well, should I go around screaming and praising the Lord all the time? No, but sooner or later, something will happen to you that happens to you at ball games, hockey games, Maverick games, whatever you watch. You got it in you there. You say, well, it would be manufactured if I did it in church. Exactly. The praise you have, the elation you express at a ball game is out of a genuine love for whatever's going on there. You love that sport. You love that team. And yet we reserve our praise. Now look at Jesus' comeback. These Pharisees are saying, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why? Because they are screaming out loud praises for who he is. But he answered and said to them, I'll tell you that if these should keep silent, if they shut up, if I shut them up, the stones would immediately cry out. Because all of the creation, he says, somebody's going to say what the truth is, because if they're quiet, if the people are quiet, the entire planet will scream who I am. You say, well, then do rocks talk? They should be talking to you every day. Go to Romans chapter 1. You say, well, where do you get that in the Bible? It's all in here. I'm not making this up. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to start there because this is one of my favorite verses. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And one of the number one questions I get is people say to me, well, what about all the people in the world who have never heard about Jesus? What's going to happen to them? It'll tell you right there. They're without excuse. I don't care where you are. You can take a baby, hide it in a closet somewhere, let it be born, speak nothing to it, drop it in a jungle somewhere and let it grow up. That kid will look around just being alive and go, there's got to be a God. Somehow, literally, the creation itself bespeaks of his existence. And everyone is without excuse. Because you cannot, unless you're trying to just really miss it, look at creation and go, oh, that just happened. There is intelligent design. There's an argument out there now just saying, well, don't even call it God. Will you just, you know, yield to intelligent design, these microscopic organisms that basically operate like an outboard motor? It didn't just happen. And people say, well, no, I don't believe that. You're going to believe whatever you want to believe, but you're not going to blame it on God not manifesting himself to you literally in creation. So read this again with me, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now here's what I think happens, and it may happen to everybody. I can't guarantee this, but I think at a certain point in almost everybody's life, because of these verses, they look around and go, God. And then they take a left turn and they say, no, everybody says there's no God, so I'm going to go with no God, and that's it. And because of the futility of their mind, all these things described here, their thoughts, their foolish hearts are darkened, and they turn away from it. It's not that God is not revealing himself to us, even through the creation. Verse 22, he goes on to describe these people. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the smartest people, the most sophisticated people, the most educated people are the most foolish people on the planet? And they write all their stuff and explain it all away, and here's why there's no God, and they sound all intellectual, but when you get right down to it, it's stupid. But if your mind has been darkened and you choose to believe all that, you go, well, yeah, that's right, I agree with that, and I'm all smart like they're smart. Verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And he goes on, therefore, because of what they chose to do, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What is the choice that people make? Now, this is where I'm going to make a turn today. When you decide to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, you're in trouble. And when people on this planet who know better begin to focus more on saving the planet than saving the people who are on the planet, we're gone. You say, well, but that sounds all positive and exciting and let's clean it all up. You know what? It's easier to clean up the planet than it is a man's heart. It's a cop out. You get some hearts clean, you'll get a clean planet. Now, I understand that what I'm about to share with you is going to be a little intense, so just hold on. In the same week, in April of 2007, a gunman goes into a college campus and takes out 32 students and professors. And within a day, I think CNN had over 100 people in Blacksburg, Virginia, covering the story. They descended on the place to get the story. And in the same week that 33 people die, total of 33, a ruling is made that may reduce the number of babies that are killed a year in our country by about 2,000. You say, well, that's no big deal. Exactly. That's the problem. We don't think 2,000 babies is any big deal. We make a bigger deal over people who are alive, 33 people who are living dying because they're alive, and we say, well, all the babies dying, they're not human beings. All right, well, if that doesn't get you, let me read you something. In an article entitled, Did I Violate the Partial Birth Abortion Ban? This is back from 2003. Abortion provider Warren Hearn described a procedure that might be interpreted as falling into the category, and this is his writing. Earlier this year, I began an abortion on a young woman who was 17 weeks pregnant. Because of the 2 days of prior treatment, the amniotic membranes were visible and bulging. I ruptured the membranes and released the fluid to reduce the risk of amniotic fluid embolism. Then I inserted my forceps into the uterus and applied them to the head of the fetus, which was still alive since fetal injection is not done at this stage of pregnancy. I closed the forceps, crushing the skull of the fetus, and withdrew the forceps. The fetus, now dead, slid out more or less intact. Now, you say, why would you read that? Because we've lost it. We have lost any sensitivity. I read this and almost got afraid reading it. I live in a country that has tolerated this. And then we finally get something. You say, well, who would let that happen? Why did that go on? Why didn't somebody talk about it? Because we put it in really nice terms and say, well, it's a procedure and this and that, and where people can't, we don't want to talk about it. It's a necessary procedure. Tell me when you've got to kill, what is the situation where you've got to crush a baby's head or suck their brains out before you technically deliver them as a human being to take care of a situation? You say, well, there's got to be some situation where it's necessary. Okay, maybe we grant you that, the health of the mother or something. It's not the case. It is convenience. It is our doing tests on babies and saying, well, what if the baby's going to be born mongoloid or retarded? You know what? Well, let's shut that down right now. If you're going to get rid of babies who are an inconvenience before they're born, then the next thing is your husband or wife is going to get sick and go, wow, this slug's laying here in a coma. Can we do something about this? I have a right to be happy. She's not coming out of this. I'm not getting my needs met. I could get on with my life if you just get rid of this old thing. And we cut a little off on the front end, then we want to cut a little off on the back end. And see, we get hit by 30-something people being killed in a university campus, and oh, that's terrible. But the abortions don't even affect us anymore. And we sit in a church service and somebody reads something and go, why are you all wound up about that? See, we're dead. We're desensitized. It doesn't even hit us anymore. That scares the fire out of me. Personally, whether you ever get it or not, when I read these stories and stop caring about what is happening to unborn children, I am gone. Imagine a public pool where the lifeguards are more focused on water quality, keeping debris out of the pool. All the while, children are drowning right under their eyes. The environment may be clean, but it's no longer safe. You think, well, that'd be absurd. Okay, you kids, we got to keep the leaves out of here, and they're going under. They're drowning and screaming for help. And we're focused on the environment and letting the children die. It doesn't make any sense. Before we start saving plants and animals, why don't we do something about saving people? Forget saving their souls even. How about just starting with their lives, where we just value human life again? Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, turn over there and I'm almost done. You know what? In a really kind of twisted way, I find great joy in even talking about this because I still care. Because I read this and cried. Because I read this and trembled and thought, oh my God, literally, how much longer is he going to put up with this? We have lost our fear of the God of the universe and our respect for human life. And that is a scary thing, but there's great joy in feeling something again and not just saying, well, what can I do about that? 2 Peter 3, let's start in verse 1. Let me read you a little of this. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing's changed. These people come along making fun of you and your faith and say, well, he said he's coming back. He isn't coming back. It's been 2,000 years. You people are crazy. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now listen to this. Think about what you're reading. You want to know why the world holds together? By the word of God, that's how it holds together. At Jesus speaking words, the entire universe came into existence. The only thing you get in Genesis is being formed is a man out of dirt. The rest of it, he speaks words and bam, there it is. This vast expanse, billions of stars, billions of galaxies. We don't even know where the end of it is. And all he had to do to make it happen was speak. Let me tell you something. All he's got to do is say it's over and it's over. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. Now, how is it? God speaks, it rains for 40 days, 40 nights, the world is wiped out. It's very fascinating, and then I'm swinging here a little bit. Who did he care about? Because there was so much violence, so much in sin, he said, do over. Build the boat, Noah. I'm getting you and your family out of here. Everybody else is going to die, but I'm going to preserve the animals. So you say, well, does God care about animals? Absolutely. Does he care about his creation? Absolutely. But he didn't wipe out all of humanity. He preserved some of it in order so that they could continue. And we are a result of that, that it did go on. But the same words that spoke the universe into existence, the same words, whatever he did when the rain started falling and he destroyed the earth with the flood, it goes on to say, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. How is it that the world is intact? That a meteor hasn't slammed into the earth and just blown it to pieces, which is not an impossibility. What protects us? It's the word of God, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved. Now, this is, he's talking about the planet. You're so worried about the planet? Here's what it says about the planet and creation. The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He's going to have him a big fire with this planet one day. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Why is he taking so long? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is the point of him letting it go this long? It's so that people can repent. There's a chance. It isn't about saving the planet. It's about saving people. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, look at this, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. The planet is going to fry. You see lava coming out of a volcano. It's molten rock. It's melted earth. One day, the planet is going to be destroyed. Keep reading, though. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, everything you look at, we build these buildings, we build these statues, monuments, all this stuff. We say, well, it's going to last forever. You know what? It's not going to last forever. In a moment, it'll be consumed. It'll burn up. Don't put your faith and your reliance on the stuff you can see. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Given the truth of this, what kind of people should we be? He says there, holy conduct and godliness. Now, let me tell you how you know whether you're moving away from holy conduct and godliness. You don't care about human life anymore. You are desensitized. If you really believe all this stuff's going to be dissolved and this is how it's going to end, he says, then we should be persons of holy conduct, godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. And then he goes on to say this, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Jump one last little verse over in Revelation 21 and I'm done. Revelation chapter 21, this is John who sees the end of the story. And I recommend you every once in a while go read Revelation to remind you of how it's going to end up and don't get all caught up in all this mess in the middle. Because if you remember how it's going to end up, you don't have to worry so much about now. It's going to be okay. Not for everybody, but for those who get it, it's going to be fine. Revelation 21, John says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. There is a day coming when the existing earth, everything you see, will be dissolved, destroyed, burned up, and God will start over, and there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth. Now, am I saying don't take care of the pool that you swim in? Let's keep the water clean, but let's don't let children drown while we're raking leaves. Let's keep our eye on the ball and make sure it is always more about people than it is our own pleasure, our own inconvenience, and we lose sight of the human factor.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.